Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's broadcast. Excuse me for a minute here. Some of my notes just jumbled up all over my screen. But anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Always Design Conference Call for the third day of September, year 2023. I'm your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Revolution 2.0. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am, and we also dedicate it to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast, Prinhanda, Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan's all together with no spaces. We do draw your attention to the Daily Mail page there because that's where we put up-to-date information, whether it's about health, guns and ammunition, prepper information, or even geopolitical current events. The homepage is where you will find information on how to help us out financially if you feel led to do so. We're not going to beg for support. There's also another page called Contact Us. If you do not have my personal contact information, then please send me a note via the Contact Us page at the website. There's an old adage that says, do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. How many of our people give up before they even get out of the gate? Life is a struggle. All right, get over it. All right, put your big girl and big boy pants on because that's just the way it is. No time did our Father promise us an easy life. He just guaranteed the end result. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Yeah, we've heard that one before. I'm going to skip over some of the quotes because we do this quite often, but I will remind everybody what Rabble Rouser on Telegram had put up some time ago. Any act which dishonors your oath of office, so this is to our public servants out there, any act which dishonors your oath of office immediately and irrevocably vacates that office and destroys your immunity from prosecution. Hallelujah. I can't wait for that day to show up. We have an awful lot of people that deserve prosecution. But Yahweh's got to clean his own house first. He's not going to let you and I be sitting in judgment on others. If we got dirt or dross within us, he's going to burn that away from us first. Another good quote that people are beginning to understand in this day and age, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. Amen. Amen. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. And if you can't see the tyranny around us today, you're blind, you know, you're as blind as a bat. And yeah, bats are blind. They operate by radar. Isn't that amazing? Tell me Yahweh isn't a creative creator. I mean, come on. A bat is totally blind, and yet they can find insects late at night. I've watched them on the farm do it 100 times. And they don't run into things, and it's all by radar. Can you imagine that? Instant radar. And their wings turn into nets. When they see a bug or a beetle that they want to consume, they virtually fly vertically and open up their wings, and the wings become a... And then when they feel the creature hit their wings, they can reach over with their mouth and grab it and then start flying again. All that happens so fast, you don't even see it unless you take it in very slow motion. Isaiah 5 and 20, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, meaning ignorance, absence of truth for knowledge and wisdom, and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Just this is a biblical way of saying, woe to those who turn everything upside down, inside out, 180 degrees from reality. That's the world we live in today. Jeremiah 4:22, for my people are foolish, for my people. We always point the fingers at everybody else in the world, but could they hurt us if we were obedient to our Father? Answer to that is no. Nobody could hurt us. Even the diabolical Jew couldn't touch us if we were obedient to our Father. For my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are foolish children or adolescents. And they have no understanding. They are skillful in doing evil. Why would you have to be skillful in doing evil? Because you got to get around your conscience. You have to convince yourself that it's okay for what you're doing, even though deep inside you know damn well what you're doing is wrong. So you got to be skillful in deceiving yourself. Our people are skillful at that. They are skillful in doing evil, meaning breaking God's law, but they do not know how to do good or righteousness or what is moral or right according to our Father. I can't tell you how many white people today are buying into the race mixing. It's disgusting. People with intelligence, people that have affluence, and yet they don't have enough sense to know what nature knows in the animal kingdom. You don't see them doing it. So animals, we think we're so damn smart, and yet the animal kingdom, even the vegetation, knows to stay kind within kind. But do men and women? No, they do not. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Isaiah 45:22. Turn to me and be saved. Now in the Greek, this is that sozo, which means to be saved from harm. Meaning here and now. It's got nothing to do with the hereafter like the church world is constantly talking. Come on down to the altar and be saved. Really? But you didn't tell me about the poison in my arm. You didn't tell me about tyranny. You didn't tell me about the queers and the trannies in the schoolhouses, but I'm going to be saved? How are you saving me? Well, you prayed the sinner's prayer, lad, and you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, the church world is so funny. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am Elohim God, and there is no other. Oh, wait a minute. Isaiah can't be right because we have a new God in town. His name is Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what the church world says. We have a new God. He's going to save you. What? That's not true? Well, you mean Isaiah doesn't know what he's talking about? It's just like Isaiah 33:22 as well. He's everything. Judge, king, lawgiver, and Savior, Isaiah 33:22. So right there in Isaiah, twice we are told who our Savior is. Church world points at this one individual who walked the earth and called himself Yeshua, as if he's a different person. So judgment, as we were talking about right before we started the broadcast, judgment will start in his house. And that's happening right now. You notice it, how we have friends and family, lifelong acquaintances, people we thought we knew. All of a sudden now we don't want anything to do with them, and they don't want anything to do with us. Have you noticed that? He's separating his house. He's separating the goats from the sheep. And yes, you're going to see people you know. You're going to see family members, coworkers, neighbors, that you thought you knew, but no, you did not. And I want to remind everybody, because I get a lot of information daily, I mean daily, from people who are suffering from consternation over what they're seeing going on around them. Remember, what's important is that you hear his voice. You answered the call. You have set yourself apart. Excuse me. You have set yourself apart from the rest of these creatures, these zombies, these libtards that are walking the streets these days. And they're getting dumber by the day. They're also getting sicker by the day. And they are becoming prone to violence and abnormal behavior daily. So fire accomplishes a couple things in Scripture. Fire is used to persecution, judgment, etc. Yahweh uses those things to burn off the dross that he finds within us, but fire is also to bring down judgment or hot coals on the enemy. Yahweh can accomplish many things at the same time. He can have a singular event happen in this world, and it will accomplish 3, 4, or 5 different things. It's an amazing thing to watch. And yet people think everything is by happenstance. They think, oh, it's just a coincidence. No, there is no coincidences, really. There aren't. Everything is by design, as we say here, by Yahweh's design. Everything's by his design, no matter what it is going on in your world. Our job is to figure it out. Our job is to be willing to be a receiver of his messages and to receive his calling upon our life. If you want to be a good servant, think about this for a minute. If you were the master walking this earth and you had a job you wanted done and you wanted your servants to accomplish that job, obviously Yahweh can accomplish anything he wants without our help. But let's pretend for a moment that the Father wants us to accomplish this mission upon the earth. And he wants his sons and daughters to behave the way he would like to see them behave and to accomplish their goal. It'd be similar to in your household, especially you folks that have raised children. In your household, you tell your daughter and your son to make their beds and clean up their room. Now, you could do it. You know how to do it. Why would you go in and do it when they're capable of doing it? Do you see what I mean? It's the same thing for us. Why would Yahweh, who made everything, including us, why should he leave his kingdom, his throne, to come down here and do our job for us? Why? He gave us the tools to do it. You gave your sons and daughters the tools to clean up their room and make their bed. So what benefit is it for you to jump in and do it for them? You expect them to do what they're told to do. And are you proud of them when they do it? Sure as hell should be. And you better be giving them some accolades, some praise, if they do their job and do it right. Consequently, if they don't, then there should be punishment. There should be some adversity to sink the message in. You see the analogy there? You and I are children. In the eyes of our Father, we are no different than the child being raised in your home. No different. We think we're wise. We like to think to ourselves, oh, I've walked this earth for decades. I know everything. No, you don't. I'm here to tell you, no, you don't. In fact, many of you don't even have a clue. You're caught up in, I don't know what it is, this myopia, this narcissistic idea that you're the center of the universe, that your thoughts, feelings, interpretations, etc., have to outweigh everybody else. There's an excellent meme going around. I wish I had written it down. I've sent it out to a bunch of people. Maybe you remember it, but it's the words of Christ. In the meme, anyway, it's Yeshua talking to us, and he said, stop fighting amongst yourselves about whether I exist or not. Stop fighting. that could also go to stop this idiocy of arguing over translations. Because it is idiocy, all right? That's why it said, this meme is perfect. He said, stop this. You're missing the point. You're a family. Start acting like it. And stop arguing. Because in time, the proof of my existence will be evident to everybody on this earth. So in the meantime, act like a family and let truth guide you. The seeking of truth, constantly in truth. About all things, not just scriptural, not just Yeshua, not Yahweh himself. No. Truth about everything. Truth about health. Truth about diet. Truth about water. Truth about what man-made governments are doing to this world. The evil that pervades this world. Tell the truth about it. Be a symbol of truth to everybody around you. And unfortunately, it won't often be very many friends and family and neighbors that will seek your truth out. Remember, the prophet is never accepted in his own hometown. Remember that? Why did he say that? Why did he tell us that that's the case? Because of familiarity. Because your family and your close friends and neighbors are going to go, well, wait a minute, I know that guy. I know that guy. I heard him say a curse word the other day, so how could he tell me anything about Elohim God? How could he do that? I saw him gossiping one day. I saw him scratch his rear end in public. I heard him fart. I mean, we have 1,000 reasons to blow somebody off as being a messenger of the Father. And yet we'll turn the TV on with some Jimmy Swaggart or Robert Schuller or some other quack out there, and we'll sit there mesmerized by this charlatan. And yet the neighbor, because you've seen him do day-to-day type things, and maybe he had a stumbling here and there, you'll think, oh, he can't tell me anything about my Father in heaven because he's imperfect. But this caricature on my screen, oh, he knows what he's talking about. And let me tell you something. This also goes to folks in identity. Trust me, I've been to so many gatherings. And then when the internet came, so many Zoom calls and conference calls and you name it, over the years, many, many, many gatherings. So I've seen the behavior of identity people up close and personal. And I'm going to tell you something. I was greatly disappointed many times. Now, that's not to say that every single person I met fell short of the mark. But it was very disappointing to see people who said they love one another, want to be family, want to be united, want to seek out the truth, and yet the behavior at the gatherings betrayed that. Now, there were genuine souls there, and they were a delight to find, but they were like finding diamonds in the dung most of the time. What I found people to be most of the time is self-centered, egotistical, the very things Yeshua taught us not to be. Why is it so hard? I've had people ask me that question, and I'm very frustrated, I'll have to admit, whether it's on the phone or by email or whatever, sometimes in person, but Why are our people doing this? Why can't we do this? Why can't we fix that? Why can't we do this? Well, it's a good question. Why can't we? Is the teaching of our Savior that hard to figure out? Is it really that hard to accomplish? I say no, really not. And, you know, I hate to bring up things that happened in my own life, but it's a first-person testimony. That's the only reason I do it. Some people say, well, you're egomaniac, Daniel. You're arrogant, blah, blah, blah. You like to blow your own horn. Well, it's not so much that. It's just that it happened to me. It was my life. So there is no how should I say this? There is no false reporting, so to speak. But how many times I was told, whether it was at church or down at the gymnasium or at school or in the workplace, it's happened to me many, many times. So many times that I'm astounded when I hear it. Because whether it was a teacher or a trainer or a Sunday school teacher and all, they would always exclaim to me how much they liked teaching me or coaching me or being my boss at work because I did what they told me to do. When I was younger, I was astounded by that. I thought, that's the way everybody is supposed to be. Weren't you raised to do that like I was? Isn't that the way we're supposed to be? Maybe I'm wrong. And if you're going to read something, just like when I was a young man, I read it in the scripture, I tried my best to put it into practice in my day-to-day life. I thought everybody did that. Maybe not. A good case in point was the food laws. As soon as I realized that there were food laws and they applied today and I changed my diet, the blessings came. And yet I found out that very few people can do that. Very few. It's too difficult. So if it's difficult for us to put the right food and water into our bodies, kind of makes sense that some of the tougher things of Yahweh's teachings are difficult as well, isn't it? So maybe that's why judgment starts in his house. Because how is he going to use us as ambassadors to go out and enforce his law on this earth if we're not living it ourselves? If we can't at least acknowledge the fact that we're falling short and this is the way he wants us to live? And I'm asking that as a question. I also wonder, why is it that people don't want to hear the same thing that I've always enjoyed hearing? Because when I was a young man and then entering the military and I had coaches and football and baseball and things, when the coaches or my supervisors or my trainers would say encouraging words to me, it always made me feel good. I got a euphoric feeling from hearing that because that's the way we're supposed to be. Again, as long as it's not doing evil now, don't get me wrong. Is it a problem that people don't feel the same thing that I did when I was younger? Maybe that's the case. Maybe I'm ignorant. Could be. But for me, it was like somebody gave me a drink of water while walking across the desert. When somebody pays a compliment or gives a pat on the back or says, well done, just like Yeshua will say to us on that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Aren't we supposed to get a high from that? We're not supposed to get a high from watching a movie or watching television or getting a paycheck or a new car or a bigger house. The things of this world, aren't we supposed to get a high from encouragement or hearing that we're doing right, regardless of all the other trappings? And again, maybe I'm wrong, but that's the way I have seen it. And I believe in my heart, that's how our Father in heaven wants to see it. Where are my sons and daughters? And among my sons and daughters, where are my warriors? We don't see many of them around, do we? Because if we did, some of these evil people wouldn't be here. And it's interesting that many platforms, including the dollar vigilante, Jeff Burrick, has come out and actually said in a video recently, why are some of these people still walking the earth? Now, here's a guy who doesn't teach anything of Scripture, or at least very little. And yet he's saying exactly the same thing. Where are my warriors? Where are the men to uphold righteousness upon the earth. Where are the men who are protecting the widows and orphans, as Scripture plainly says, and that Richard Kelly Hoskins wrote about in his book, The Vigilantes of Christendom? And by the way, that's an electronic version that is available. And if you don't have a hard copy of the book, then contact me. But if you can get the hard copy, like I have sitting on my shelf over here, that's the way you should get it, because it's much easier to read. But the wisdom in that book and the story of Phinehas and many other individuals within Scripture who upheld Yahweh's righteousness upon this earth, and how drastic a change it made upon the earth. We're sinking in a quagmire of sin and evil today that can only prevail when the righteous don't do anything. Or is it the fact that there aren't very many righteous? Now, nobody's totally righteous. Well, that's understandable. That's not what we're arguing about here. But what is the goal? When your head leaves that pillow in the morning, what is your goal for the rest of the day? Do you want to be a godly, righteous individual? Or is your goal to put one over on your neighbor, or to steal from the company you work for, or whatever, okay? That's what it's talking about. What is your motive for the day? To do right? To help put evil down? Now, there's a group of people in the world, it's happening worldwide, there's a group of people that call themselves the Blade Runners, which I think is a pretty catchy title, Blade Runners. And they're destroying cell towers. They're destroying video cameras in many, many areas of the world. They're spray painting the lenses on the cameras, or cutting the cables, the coaxial cable that goes from the camera down into the electronics box, so that they no longer work. Some people are figuring out ways to bring down these drones that the enemy keeps flying amongst us to spy on us. So again, there are groups of people starting to put their heads together and realizing that we are many, they are few. And for the people that are aiding and abetting the communist takeover of this world, the Zionist communist takeover, they will be counted as goats on the day of judgment. And there's tons of them. There's tons of them out there. People who, for a buck, for a paycheck, will actually aid and abet the enemies of Christ and the enemies of all free men and women for a paycheck. It's astounding. It's not astounding that it happens, because Judas proved to us that you give somebody a bag full of silver, they'll turn traitor on the Savior himself. So that in and of itself is not what's astounding. What's astounding is the number of people that are willing to do that. Just like they're trying to resurrect this whole COVID bullshit story. There is no such thing as COVID. It's a name. It's a title. It's like virus. There are no viruses. It's a theory, okay? It's a theory, much like the sun and us being a ball, and we're traveling at tens of thousands of miles an hour around this ball in the middle of nowhere. It's a theory. It's a story. And yet people take it for fact. It's amazing. But then again, the Zionists figured out a long time ago that if you tell a lie often enough, people will start to believe it, even though it's outlandish, just like right now. Are you kidding me? Somebody would actually put a face diaper on now, almost 4 years later, with all the information that's out there, and the fact that they are totally useless? Even if there was a virus, it wouldn't stop it. And yet there's people doing it. Talk about stupid. Unbelievable. unbelievable that people just don't get it. Maybe they don't want to get it. Maybe we're that afraid of being called a name. We're that afraid of what people might say or do. Even though the scriptures that you read make it pretty clear that even unto death, are you not supposed to do the right thing? Isn't that what the word says? Even unto death, aren't you supposed to protect the widows and the orphans? Isn't that our job? That's why we talk about monarchy so much, because that's a biblical form of governance until Yeshua takes the throne all by himself. Governance with a good man, an elder, statesman, as the grandfather to oversee his people. That's the whole idea of a monarchy. It's not a dictator demanding this and demanding that and to demand being worshipped as a, quote, god. No. A monarch, first of all, is like Yeshua. A monarch would lay down his life for his people, not make demands on them. He leads by example. He sacrifices for his household. He sacrifices for his people. That's the man that deserves to be the monarch, to lead his people. And yet the people are still clamoring for parliaments and congresses to solve the very problems that they brought into existence. Again, Yahweh's people, you sit there and scratch your head. It's like, is there a psychosis at work here or what? Are these people mentally ill? Why the hell would you go to groups of men and women sitting in parliaments and legislatures to solve problems? You and I have the answers to all these problems. They don't. They're part of the New World Order. And that order has nothing good intended for you and your family. Not a single thing. These people are miscreants and cretins. All you got to do is look at AOC or any of those ilk, or this Kamala Harris and Biden. If you can't see that those people have an IQ lower than a room temperature, then something's wrong with you. These people are not only retarded, they are as immoral as you can possibly find. And yet, people still think, like now, well, we're going to re-elect Donald Trump and everything's going to be fine, Hector. I got news for you. Donald didn't do shit the first 4 years in there, and now you're going to say, but this 4 years will be different. Oh, because the price of gas was a little lower, you think he was a good guy, and yet he was telling you to put a poison in your arm. Are you listening, folks? You want to put a guy in there because you think it's going to lower the price of gas, but this same guy wanted you to put a toxic poison in your arm, and somehow he gets a pass for that because gasoline might go down a buck a gallon. You know, if you got rid of the Zionist terrorist communists and you let righteous individuals run this world, you would probably be paying about 50 cents a gallon. In fact, you would probably be going around in automobiles and devices that don't even need gasoline. And I know they exist. I've seen them. Yahweh has inventions and devices that would totally blow your mind. Sitting on the sidelines, waiting to give his sons and daughters, when they are victorious over these criminals running the world today. There is a storehouse of medicines, devices for health, devices to travel with, devices to make homes that are self-sufficient, off the grid. We don't need to kill forests. We don't need to put steel beams and concrete beams all over our territory to have energy. Even Nikola Tesla had proved that. I met a gentleman in Michigan many years ago who had a device that he invented that could sit right on a little concrete pad, no bigger than an air conditioning unit, on a concrete pad outside your house and provide you all the electricity you needed right there at your house. No power lines, no power company to pay and to make you jump through hoops to get their damn electricity like the water company and everybody else. All part of this communist, corporate-run terrorist organization on the earth. Some people call it the cabal or the deep state. It's all part of the same thing, whatever term you want to use for it. It is an ungodly system being put upon the heads of we the people. We don't have to take it. That's what I don't understand. Why are we taking it? I don't know. We got numbers. People say, well, there aren't enough of us, Dan. What you need to see an army of about 50 million guys with guns, and then you think you're going to have a big enough army? What did Yahweh say to David when he counted his soldiers? Do you remember that story in the Old Testament? What did Yahweh say and do to David when David did not want to go out and do the right thing because he didn't think his army was big enough? He was punished for that. It's a lack of faith. Numbers. I hear it all the time. Numbers. We got to have the numbers. No, you don't. No, you don't. Scripture says it. My father told me it when I was a boy all the time. A man with conviction is a majority. Are you listening? Those are the words of our Father in heaven, by the way. If I am for you, who can be against you? A man or woman with conviction is a majority. Let that sink in. And again, I'm going to go into my own archives and let you know that I have witnessed that very thing when I was in courtrooms and police stations to aid and abet brothers and sisters who were being put upon. I saw it. I saw what Yeshua was teaching and telling us about. I saw the fear in their eyes when somebody with conviction enters the building. You don't think it's true? Oh, I'm here to tell you it is true. The enemy, the wicked, the weak, the co-conspirators with these Zionist pigs, they can sense it about you, and they can see it in your eyes. That's why Scripture says the eyes are the windows of your soul. That's why when Yeshua walked this earth, his piercing blue eyes were like torches to the other people. They were like brilliant spotlights with his wisdom and courage and conviction. It would burn holes in the wicked, but at the same time, it would lift up the weak and the cowardly amongst our own people and give them hope. We seem to forget that. We seem to forget that our body language, our looks, and the words that come out of our mouths, there is great power in that, to do good or to do evil. It's all in the manner that you use the weapon. It's all in the manner that you use the tools that our Father gave you. Choose this day whom ye shall serve, ladies and gentlemen. It's a daily thing. When your head comes up off the pillow, what's your first thought? I wanted to spend a few minutes because I was rereading this and going back to the Greek words, and there's so much wisdom in here in Matthew 24. Starting at verse 3, when it's talking about the signs of the end of the age. Now, in the church world, they're telling people it's the end of the world. No, it never says that. Scripture never talks about that. The Greek word is where we get the word eon from, an eon of time. Eon, it's an age, an earth age. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples, mathetes in the Greek, pupils, people there to learn, the disciples, came to him privately, not in public, privately, saying, tell us, When will these things be? What is the sign of your coming? And, there we go, it's a conjunction, and the end of the age. So his coming and the end of the age are at the same time, aren't they? Yeshua answered them, said, be careful that no one leads you astray. Now, it's funny that this word astray in the Greek is the same word that we get the word planet from. Planeo, planet. To lead one astray, to lead one away from the truth. Now, how many of you think that's a coincidence that the Greek word used for leading you astray and planet are the same word? For many will come in my name, saying they have the authority of Messiah. That's what it means by in my name. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the anointed one. Yeah, in your Bible it says Christ, but that's Christos in the Greek, which is the same as Messiah in the ancient Hebrew. It's anointed. So many are going to say, oh, I carry the anointed of the Most High. I'm your teacher. You don't need to study the scriptures. You don't need to pray. You don't need to go to your prayer closet and try to talk to him because I'll tell you what he wants you to do. Oh, and by the way, throw some money in the plate on the way out. Many will say, we're the anointed, and they will lead many astray. That's the church world. Churchianity. You will hear of wars, turbulence, and rumors of wars. Not declared wars. That's not what the Greek words are talking about. It's trouble, animosity, bickering, fighting. See that you are not troubled, for all this must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. This is ethnos, meaning the peoples. The different peoples, the different races will be at odds with each other. And kingdom against kingdom, that is nation states, countries. And there will be famines, plagues, and it says earthquakes in your English Bibles, but that is commotion, turmoil. In various places. Do we have turmoil today? Do we have scarcity? We have man-made scarcities. We have man-made plagues. And we have man-made commotion and disturbances in various places. All of it man-made. You see, the scripture, including the Greek, does not say where they originate from, does it? Because the New World Order, meaning the Zionist Jews, are the generators of all of these chaotic conditions. And the world, by the way, is waking up to that message. Hallelujah for that. Praise Yahweh. People are starting to put the pieces of this puzzle together. And that's how come we know Revolution 2.0 is right around the corner. More people talking about getting rope and pitchforks and hanging these bastards. More people talking about executions. More people talking about why are we letting this minority group have all this power? Artificial power, by the way. Why are we doing that? Why are we letting them destroy the earth and the inhabitants of the earth? Why are we doing that? But all these things are the beginning of birth pangs. I love the fact that he makes the analogy of a woman giving birth to a child as the earth's point in this transitional time that we are in right now. Because a new world is about to come forth, his kingdom on this earth, a new heaven and a new earth where his law is the law of the land. There'll be no more of this nonsense that man-made government and man-made laws have to be obeyed. That's ridiculous. Even for you Bible believers, what did Peter say? If you have to choose between God's law and man's law, you must choose God's law. I can't believe how many people sit in the pews listening to that pusillanimous lying preacher telling you your job is to obey government, when the very Bible they carry, of course they don't read it, says very clearly that you are to obey the Father above and his law first, not man-made law. The churches are full of hypocrites and retards. They don't know how to read. They have no discernment. Zombies. We live in a world full of zombies. Then they will deliver you up to oppression. And it says here, and will kill you. They will want to kill you. But this word kill also means to destroy or persecute. So no, they're not going to kill all of us. That's not our destiny. But do they wish to persecute us and destroy our reputation, destroy our careers, destroy our owning of our own businesses and homes? Oh, yeah. They're busy about that every day. Look at all the major corporations, all headed by Jews, by the way, buying up real estate, buying up single-family homes, buying up condominiums and apartment buildings, because they want to be in control of who gets to live in Babylon and who doesn't. So this is what Yeshua is trying to tell us. You will be hated by all of the peoples. It says nations, but that's ethnos again. For my name's sake. In other words, if you stand for truth and justice and honesty in this world, guess what? The world hates you. Haven't you noticed that? How many times have you tried to witness the people you know and they go, oh, don't be telling me about the shape of the earth. What do you mean cutting off my son's penis wasn't the right thing to do? What do you mean cutting off the end of my son's penis in circumcision? What do you mean that that's not right? What do you mean marriage isn't right? Monogamy only, all, we've always lived that way. No, that's not true. But then again, you don't do any research anymore. You want to stay self-absorbed. You want to stay possessive. You want to have jealousies. You want all the things that Yeshua condemned. Because God Almighty, I'm not going to live the way the Bible says, because I would rather live the way the Jews tell me. It's working so well for us. Look around us. Let's see, divorce rates approaching, what, 50%? Maybe more than 50%. Oh, but it can't be because we're doing it wrong, Dan. You're full of shit. You can't go against the Catholic Church and the Jews. What's the matter with you? Yeah, it's really that bad. It really is. Our people are so stiff-necked and stubborn. And don't tell me they aren't. I've walked amongst them for 7 decades now. I know a little bit about our people. And I know quite a bit about their proclivity to stubbornness, tunnel vision, myopia, narcissism. And I'm talking about our people, not our enemies. Of course our enemies are all those things. But I'm talking about our people. How is Yahweh going to use us to destroy this enemy if we can't even live together? We can't come together in one accord over his own laws, which, by the way, you don't need a damn Bible to figure out. It's called the laws of nature. It's called common sense. It's called experimentation, and keep that which is right, which means in biblical terms, keep that which works. Why would you want the modern system when it's obvious it doesn't work? Oh, but Dan, please, you're giving us a new way here. And what would my neighbors say? What would the preacher say? Oh, my God. Then many will stumble and will deliver up one another, which means backstab. Backstab one another, and will hate one another. Yep, instead of being like Malachi says, like family, we'd rather stab each other in the back, put each other down. Oh, you, what, you don't You don't interpret the Bible the same way I do? Oh, my God. Oh, get the hell out of my house. What, you don't follow Pete Peters? You don't follow Jim Wickstrom? You don't follow, what the hell is his name? Can't think of his name now. Whatever. Swift, Comp Ray, Colonel Gale. You don't belong to Aryan nations? Get the hell out of my house. You don't believe Adolf Hitler was the greatest guy that ever walked out? Get out of my house. Get out of my house. Really? I think the program of the National Socialist German Workers' Party was probably one of the best programs ever put together. How many people read it? This is another thing that cracks me up. People will say things like that. Get out of my house. I don't believe you. Blah, 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 blah. How many have done the deep dive into any of these topics that we allow to destroy us? How many? I got the answer for you. Not very many. They are triggered by their emotions or by their own walk or their own feelings about a certain topic. Your feelings now are more important than truth and honesty and coming together as a family. Your feelings. Oh, really? Somebody point out the scripture to me. I'm really curious. Where Yeshua says that the most important thing within our fellowship is worrying about each other's feelings so they don't get butt hurt over something we say or do. The verses I've read about that said you don't allow those things to divide the camp. You don't allow those things to cause discord amongst the brethren. That's what I've read. Maybe you have a different set of scripture. I don't know. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And this word, and again, verse 11 here, astray is the same planeo, where we get the word planet. Planeo, to lead astray. Lies, falsehoods, false doctrine. Many will claim to be prophets, but they are pseudo prophetes, meaning false. Having the form of godliness, but they don't have the power. Because iniquity will be multiplied. Iniquity. You think that's a good thing? No, it's not. Iniquity will be multiplied. The love, meaning brotherly love, agape love, benevolence, of many will grow cold. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Do we have that today? Amongst our own people. I expect the zombies to increase iniquity and lose agape love for their fellow man. I expect them to be that way. I do not expect our people to be that way, and yet many are. I am so happy that Yahweh put within me what I asked him to do when I was a young boy. I said to make your words my words and your thoughts my thoughts. I asked him to do that. And in many ways, I believe he's honored that prayer, because a lot of the things I hear and see are like daggers in my heart when I see what our people are doing. And again, I'm not saying I'm perfect. In fact, I'm far from perfect. But what I'm saying is, if you have Yahweh's heart, if you see things the way our Father, our Creator, is looking at things, how could it not pierce you when you see our people behave the way they behave? When you see them take the bag of silver to betray truth and justice, whether they have a uniform on or not. And it's really disgusting when men and women in uniform become Judas for a bag of electronic digits in a computer, not even hard silver, which would be real money, digits in a computer betray truth betray justice, betray their own kind. The state of man today is deplorable. Yahweh put his sons and daughters, those who know the truth, who know him and are right with him, he put us here to become a righteous army. The Ezekiel 37 mighty army rising up out of the dead and dry bones of this world around us. But he's not going to do anything with us if we don't get our act together pretty soon. I'm going to tell you that. He's not going to lead an army of ragtag misfits that are butthurt over the littlest thing, arguing over stupid-ass things. And I'm going to tell you something. Every gathering I went to, arguments over some of the dumbest things that I could ever imagine. And I'm going to say that. Dumb. Back then, I was a little more sensitive, and I tried to be kind of a peacekeeper so I wouldn't be so belligerent. But today, it's not time to be timid. If you're going to sit there and argue with somebody over what day of the week is a Sabbath, you're a fool. Okay? I'm going to say it plain. You're a fool. Our ancestors did not have days of the week. And if you haven't figured that out yet, shame on you. If you haven't done enough inward thinking and word study to know, there were no days of the week. Saturday, Friday, Wednesday. There were no days of the week. So how could there be a Sabbath day of the week now? Or don't you even understand the concept? That's why Christ said, I made the Sabbath for you, not me. You can go through all kind of rituals and all of the, I didn't make any of that stuff for me. I don't need it. I created you. It was for you. A day of rest. Look the word up. What does Sabbath mean? It means one day in seven, take a break from your labors. What are your labors? Your job. The things you do the rest of the week, the other 6 days of the month. Not the week we have today, not this Monday through Sunday crap. The days of the month, every 7 days of the month. That's how they counted time. One of those days you need to rest from whatever it is, building houses, digging ditches, baking bread, doesn't matter. You have to have a break. He made it for you and me. And yet people say, well, I'm going to honor the Sabbath because that's going to make me holy. It's going to make me closer to the Father because I'm going to honor the Sabbath. And I pick Saturday. And shame on you if you don't pick Saturday because Saturday's the last day of the week, Dan. Don't you know that? Oh, my God. The stuff our people come up with is just amazing. If we spent a tenth of the energy to build his kingdom and to right this world that we spend in arguing and fighting with each other, it'd be done. But he who adores indoors to the end, the same will be what? Sozo in the Greek. Saved. It doesn't mean saved as in I'm going to heaven and you're not. That's not the salvation that Matthew is talking about. Sozo is talking about saving from what? The harmful effects of a vaccine that's not a vaccine. Saved from what? Tyranny, because you put tyrants in the grave where they belong. Saved from excessive crime because you put rapists, murderers, and pedophiles at the end of a rope and you hang their ass. That's the saving he's talking about. Not what the church world teaches. Churchianity is a joke. This good news. Yeah, your Bible probably says gospel, but it's just good news. Of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end of the age will come. His truth will be preached. How is it going to get preached to all the nations until this point in time when we have a worldwide web? how was anything going to reach our whole world full of people? So we are in the latter days. As far as we know, at no time in the history of this world, that we're aware of anyway, was the ability to do this. What when he said that my truths will permeate the world as lightning flashing from the east to the west, what do you think electricity going through cables is like? See, lightning is what? Electricity going from one set of clouds to another set of clouds. And sometimes down to the earth as well. But it's a discharge of electrical energy. That's what lightning is. Millions of volts of differential with a current running from negative to positive. No different than the battery in your car. It's a current of electricity. The good news will be preached and it will go out as lightning, meaning electrical current. What do you think's running through the cables that go across the ocean? We call it the internet. No, it's not going by satellite, silly. There's nothing on the other side of the firmament, and low-level satellites aren't doing it either. Cables, electrical cables connect the world. Hardwired. Oh, you didn't know that? Fiber optics, electrical charges, or light pulses, which is also a kind of electrical charge. Do you think maybe that's what he was talking about? My word, before I come, it'll be transmitted across this earth electronically as lightning flashes from cloud to cloud, and you can see it many miles away. Just a thought. Just a thought. The rest of Matthew 24 you can check out on your own. But there's another section in 24, starting at 29, which is the coming of the Son of Man. Now, Son is the Greek word weos. And again, how many people look into anything anymore? Unbelievable. Weos does not mean a literal son. It can mean literal son. However, it has other meanings. So when the Greeks say Son of Man, they're not talking about a physical son as much as they are talking about the fact that it's a descendant of the Anthropos. Okay? But immediately after the oppression of those days, do you feel oppressed? You better. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. Wait a minute. How the hell do the stars fall from the sky? All these things are just lights in the firmament, folks. And it also could be an analogy for us because we were called the lights of the sky, sun, moon, and stars. And the powers of the heavens will be, here we go again, shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send out his messengers with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his chosen ones, the called out ones, the ecclesia from the four winds, and from one end of the sky to the other, a regathering of our people. Says he will do that. You know, we keep trying to do it, but it doesn't seem to work out. This says he's going to do it. But just like that meme says, instead of arguing about this stuff, he said, why don't you act like brothers and sisters as family? And let all this work out in time, because in time, all things will be revealed. Why don't you let truth be your guide instead of trying to win arguments over translations? I've often wondered about that. Why is it we abandon our relationship as a family and seeking truth? Why do we abandon it as soon as it comes to a matter of interpretation? And don't tell me it doesn't happen, because I've seen it happen time and time again. Yeshua is begging us to drop this silliness and this nonsense. Look for the simple truths. Look for the meaning of why you're here. Look for the importance of us being a family and seeking His will for our life as individuals and as nations of Adamic peoples. Why aren't we looking for that? Can't we agree on that? Do we need more than that? Really? Let me ask you another question, and I've put this to many groups lately. What did our people do for 1,600 years? Well, what the hell are you talking about, Dan? Well, from the time of Yahshua's walking the earth until the first Bibles appeared was about 1,600 years. 1,600 years. That's a long time. What did our people do? They weren't, quote, saved? Do you think maybe they focused on what that meme is talking about? Focusing on who we are and seeking truth as a family, line upon line, precept upon precept? Do you think maybe that's what they focused on, rather than winning arguments about something written thousands of years ago, translated over and over again by different groups, some of them nefarious groups, by the way, not always our friends? Do you think maybe that's how they made it through those 1,600 years, obeying the common sense and the common law of Yahweh's truth, kind after kind, take care of your family, look after the widows and the orphans, men learning to be as warriors, as Proverbs and Psalms teaches? O Yahweh, teach my fingers and my hands the ways of war and the weapons of war. Maybe we focused on simple things like that. Do you think? Maybe. That was enough. We didn't need to have this whole litany of ideology and dogma based on what we think Scripture is telling us, what we believe Scripture is telling us. So for 1,600 years, our people just sort of bounced around in ignorance and apathy and going to hell, even though it doesn't exist. Okay? They were lost. 1,600 years. Didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Bouncing around. People leading them astray. You really think that's the way it was? You think we're here today because that's the way it was? I don't think so. I don't think the Vikings traveled all over this earth and the Anglo-Saxons left the Middle East and came to America 3,600 years ago. Yeah, they did. Our people in great big trireme ships made it all the way from across the Atlantic to settle into North America 3,600 years ago. And I'm sure others did it even before then, but I'm talking about large numbers of our people came here and established colonies 3,600 years ago. Last time I checked, I don't think they carried Bibles with them. And yet they were able to survive. They were able to acknowledge the 10 simple rules that are expressed in Exodus, because they left stone monuments all over North America with those 10 simple rules of conduct. 10 simple rules, and we were able to civilize and explore the entire surface of the earth thousands of years ago. 10 simple rules, and most of our people can't even follow them. In fact, a lot of our people don't even know what those 10 rules are. Again, go to the book of Exodus. They're right there. Some people call it the 10 commandments. 10 commandments. not suggestions, commandments. And one of them, the sixth one in the Septuagint, is do not race mix. Do not mongrelize anything. And yet, almost all our people do, because they got mongrels for pets. They got mongrel dogs, mongrel cats, mongrels, mongrels, mongrels. Oh, but they're so cute because I mixed a terrier with a schnauzer. Really? Last time I checked, that's mongrelization. And yet the word says don't mongrelize. Well, I mixed a lemon tree and a lime tree, so I've got these new... That's mongrelization. Well, I mixed a Guernsey with a different breed of cattle, and I've got the... It makes more milk, so I can make more money. That's mongrelization. Creating that which should not exist. Our people violate it all the time. It's one of the 10 simple rules, and we can't even get that right. Part of the problem is you haven't had teachers teaching it right for a long time. But if we want this world to right itself, we're going to have to get over this egotism that we all exhibit, this narcissistic tendency, and focus on the things that we have in common so that we can come through this time of tribulation and be victorious. It's in our power to do it, folks. It really is. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for this time and this ability to reach out to our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We know this vehicle to get your truth out there is working because many platforms are starting to repeat the things that we've talked about here for many years. And you said your truth will not go out in vain. It will come back and produce fruit. And praise Yahweh for that. It has nothing to do with the men and women here today. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with what's right and what is true. And when his truths are spoken into the ethers, it accomplishes things. Can you imagine if hundreds of thousands of true followers of Yahweh were to meditate on and put into the ethers the positive things of his law and the raising up of the righteous army Ezekiel told us about? Can you imagine what that would do? Forgive us our shortcomings, Father Yahweh. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do. And give us a stiff backbone. Take away the spirit of fear. Make us courageous warriors in the fight to save our people and to save this beautiful world that you put here for us. To that end, again, we walk with you and hold on to your hand and seek your guidance in all things. And we ask, Father, that you protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.